Bible says, Satan the accuser. We're going to start, and I don't know how far I'll get, speaking today on building a strong foundation. A priest at some years ago, actually a priest at about 18 years ago, about preaching, you know, building a strong foundation. Part of that foundation, of course, begins with the cross of Jesus. And we'll go talk about, before it's over with, baptism and just several different things that has to do with foundational things of being a church member. And so today we're going to start off about the cross when I get to it here in just a little bit. I want to say again, I'm glad you're here today in service with us. God bless you for being here, and I certainly know that He will. In our faith, we certainly need a strong foundation. Jesus described how two men in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, how that two men built their individual houses. Let me read that to you today. He told that after he had been a long discourse, I believe it was the Sermon on the Mount, and taught them how to pray and how to be blessed and all kinds of different things through there, and about fasting, judging, treasures in heaven. He gave the Sermon on the Mount. It was a very long sermon. And then at the end of that, he said this, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." So I believe building a strong foundation is very important to us if we're going to stand. If we're going to be able to endure the gale force winds of life and things that come against you, you're going to have to be built upon a rock. Of course, that rock is Jesus. The very foundation of the church is Christ. And we need to be firmly established in Him. And so I want to talk about it a few minutes today. Our foundation in Jesus Christ revolves around several elements. Each of them can become or will become building blocks which God uses to form a perfectly shaped and immovable foundation of faith. Colossians 1:23 says this, "If you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." It says, if you be grounded and settled, and don't be moved away from the hope. The New Living Translation says it like this, "But you must continue to believe the truth, and stand firmly. Don't drift away from the assurance you receive when you heard the good news." How many heard the good news? How many accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? How many is doing your best to live for God today? Well, don't let anything persuade you to give up, to turn away. And so we have human responsibility to continue in the truth. And that's why you're here today on a Sunday morning. You give up this time. I say give up. You take this time every Sunday morning, most of you, and you come to church. That's first and foremost on your mind when you go to bed Saturday night. You set your alarms. You intend to get up and go to church. You don't get up and say, "Well, you don't get up and say, "Well, I'm not going today." You get up and say, "I'm going." You don't not set your alarm and say, "Well, if I get up, I'll go. If I don't get up, well, you know, hey, they won't miss me." Yes, they do miss you. More important than us missing you is this. You miss receiving something from God that may have been the very building block of your faith that you needed to sustain you for just one day. You may have been precariously perched on an edge of your foundation. It may have been crumbling, and rains had been coming in, and it was undermining the stability of your house. And that very sermon or that word of encouragement from somebody in the church may have been the very thing you needed for that week or just for one day to stop your house from falling. Yet you chose not to come, and so if you choose not to come, then you don't get what you need. And that you say, well, next time I come, God will have something for me. Well, very likely He will, but still, it may be that you crumbled that week, and your faith was so shattered because you hadn't been building up your most precious holy faith. You hadn't been coming to church. You hadn't been doing what you needed to do to build a strong foundation, and so you crumbled that week, and you almost got to the place of no return. Well, that won't happen to me. Yes, it happens to people all the time. They backslide all the time. It's not a quick thing. It takes some time to backslide, but people do it all the time. So that's why church is important. Coming to hear the message, even if it's an awful message, you need to come hear it. Because there may be something. I'd forgotten about what happened to her. Well, a long time ago, back when I still had black hair. That's when I still had hair. A lot more than I got now. I forgot about that. But she hadn't forgot that. Why? Because that particular day, at 16 years of age, she received the very thing she needed to shore up her foundation, to bring her to a place of faith in God and realization that God loved her. And that it wasn't her fault. But if she had missed that Sunday, she might not have received what she needed. That might have been the very week that she did something very foolish as a teenager. Because she didn't receive that day what could have received because she wasn't there. But she was there. You understand what I'm saying? We have responsibility. We must continue in faith, maintaining faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Everybody's buffeted. Everybody goes through trials. Everybody has storms of life. Everybody has situations, every single one of us. And so we need what the church has to offer. More than that, we need what God has to offer. I've said a lot of words over the years. I've preached a lot of sermons in the last 28 years. Preach most of the time 3 times a week, and that's not as much as some people. At least I don't have to preach 4 and 5 times a day. I don't know if I can handle one of them kind of churches. I want to. I don't, at this point in my life, I don't aspire to that. I never did aspire to that, and I sure don't now. But you see, we come to church for a reason. There's purpose in this, and it's to help build up and help maintain our faith. So we must be grounded and settled in the teachings of the apostles and of Jesus Christ. Grounded and settled. We cannot afford to be moved away from the hope of the gospel. It's by faith you've been saved through grace today. We're saved by grace. Through our faith in Jesus Christ, we can't afford to let anything move us from the hope of the gospel. We can't return to the former things of hopelessness to the soul destroying vices of our past. I don't want to go back to what I was a long time ago. I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to become that again. I'm glad that I've been saved. I'm glad He brought me out of that old miry muck and terrible lifestyle. I'm glad He saved me a long time ago. I've been saved so long now, I wouldn't even know how to. Well, I guess it's pretty natural to the flesh, though, to sin, isn't it? First, I wouldn't even know how. Yeah, I would. The flesh is constantly, it seems to be able to revert back pretty easy. That's why we have to maintain our faith. We have to maintain our hope. We have to stay in church. We have to stay in the Word. We have to pray. If you're not, you're not maintaining a strong foundation. And it's very important that we do that. Hebrews 10:38 says this. It says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition or destruction, But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Aren't you glad today for your faith? Aren't you glad today that you are still saved by grace? Hebrews 10:38 is where I was at. I was looking at 9:30, and it wasn't no 38 there, but it is in Hebrews 10. We live by faith. This fundamental principle is affirmed at least four times in the Word of God. In Habakkuk, the second chapter, in the fourth verse, I won't read it, but Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. And this principle governs our relationship to God and our participation in the salvation provided by Jesus Christ. We need faith. We go to the next chapter. Now it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's how you got saved, through faith. You have to have faith. But we're not of those who pull back. It's a faith that believes in spiritual realities. These spiritual realities lead to righteousness and causes us to seek God. If you say you're a Christian and you don't seek after righteousness, there's something missing. I don't want to say you're brick shy of a load or a screw loose or anything like that, but something's not clicking up here. Something's not clicking in here. If you're not seeking after righteousness, you're not seeking after God, you might not be a true Christian. Now, we ought to be running hard after God. We should run as hard after God as we do after the things of this world, after our jobs and after our children and after our hobbies and whatever it is that you do and love and enjoy to do. There's nothing wrong with these things, but we should seek after God. The Bible very plainly says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then these things are added unto you. So we should run hard after God. And if we're really seeking after God, that's where our faith is flourishing and our foundation is becoming more secure. And the building blocks of our faith is we're being built up in Christ. And we need that, ladies and gentlemen. We need that. And so a cardinal truth affirms that the just shall obtain eternal life by faithfully drawing near to God with a sincere, believing heart. You've got to continually draw to Him. There's lots of distractions. There's lots of distractions. There's all kinds of things to distract you. Jobs and family and pleasures of different sorts. And just life in general will distract you from God. And He wants you to have a good, happy, healthy life. He wants you to enjoy life. George Myers got it right. Enjoying your best life now. I want to enjoy life while I'm here. And God doesn't frown on me enjoying life while I'm here, but He wants me to seek Him first and to build up my most precious holy faith. He wants me to be faithful to Him. And in doing so, I can enjoy life. Now, as a Christian, I found, and I may be wrong about this, or maybe it's just me, you know. I found if I'm not seeking after God, there's something missing, and if I'm not careful, I begin to get depressed. I'll become despondent. I won't be happy with anything around me. When I'm not seeking after God as a Christian, things don't go my way. But if I am, even when things don't go my way, they go my way. Does that make sense? I have a bad day, but still going my way. Why? Because I've been seeking after God. I'm running hard after Him. I know that I can run back to Romans 8:28 and say, this we know, all things work together for the good to them who love God, to those called according to His purpose. I run back to Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your body a holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed. And I know I'm doing these things, so everything works out. I can trust God. Can God trust me? Can God trust us? And so, if I'm not seeking after God, then I can say, things don't go the way they ought to go. I don't say I'm backslidden. I don't say I'm going to go to hell over it. I will if I keep on, just give up on God, you know what I mean? It may make a big difference in my life. But when I'm doing my best to seek God, and that foundation is strong, these things can come, and I can just boldly say, there ain't no weapon formed against me can prosper. I can boldly proclaim that. Nothing's going to tear my foundation down. I can look the devil in the eye and say, devil, get thee behind me. What's the Bible say there? It says, submit yourself therefore unto God. Then you resist the devil and he'll flee. So there again, we need this strong foundation. We need to seek hard after God, run hard after God, and serve God with all of our hearts. And then we can say, devil, you have no place here. Because if you're not, the next thing you know, if you're not, and you start that trying to rebuke the old devil, he just kind of, he might back up a little bit and just giggles. Oh, I can't believe they're trying that. They don't have any authority over me. Because they haven't been seeking after God, and I know it. So let's run hard after God. Let's run hard after Him. We need to, don't we? The Bible says anyone who draws back from Christ and deliberately keeps on sinning, God shall have no pleasure in him. When you draw back, He doesn't have any pleasure in you. It says in chapter Hebrews 10, the just lives by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back under perdition or unto damnation, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I believe God saved me. And if God saved me, He can keep me. And I'm going to be secure in Him. Can I say this? I'm going to be eternally secure in Him. Wait a minute. Sound like one of them Calvinist Baptists now, preacher. Well, if I'm doing my best to serve God, He's not going to kick me out. And if I have faith in Him and I keep serving Him, I'm saved. I'm eternally secure. It's when I walk away from Him that I'm in trouble. When I draw back, and I don't intend to draw back, even if I make a mistake and I do a big flub up or I sin, I'm going to come boldly to the throne of grace and I'm going to say, Lord, forgive me. Please forgive me. Cleanse me and wash me. So the Bible teaches us if any man sin, got an advocate with the Father. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now quit your sinning willfully. Stop sinning willfully. Stop doing it. Say, oh, well, I'll just ask God to forgive me. No, I'm talking about people who have a firm foundation. They're doing best to serve God. And they're going to serve God. So they're going to keep on keeping on. They're going to have faith. So let's look at the cross briefly. And I don't have a lot of scriptures on the cross today, but I just want to talk about it just a little bit. First off, and because this is the first very important a part of our foundation in serving Christ. The cross is our bridge to God. There's an old song called Mercy Built a Bridge. And it's talked about a great gulf that was between a river, a big wide gap, and there was no way across. And the only way across was a way across was the cross. And Jesus was the bridge, and it came because of a wooden cross and three rusty nails. Mercy built that bridge, and that was Jesus Christ. The single most important event in Christianity was the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. One reason I don't want to talk about the cross a whole lot today because we got Easter just about a month away. And we'll talk about it a whole lot that day. And so this sermon, this part of the sermon probably re-preached in a different manner Easter Sunday. But I want to talk about it for just a moment, the cross. And so the only hope as believers, the only hope we really have is in Jesus Christ. Actually, the only hope this world has is in Jesus Christ. That's the only real hope that anybody has is Jesus Christ, His resurrection, and the cross. That's our hope today. It comes from the cross. He had to go to the cross. Without shedding of blood, without His sacrificial death, there's no remission of sin. You can't be saved without the cross. That was God's, it was a brutal way to die. It was a Roman's way of death. It was very brutal. It was violent. But that's the way God chose for Jesus to die for our sin. God could have sent Him down here at any time in history. But He chose to send Him then. After 400 years of silence, God sent His Son. Sent Him to the earth. Sent a forerunner, John. sent Jesus to earth to die for our sins. The cross is the very most important part of our foundation today. Man had rebelled against God. They needed a Savior. The penalty had to be paid. And God sent His only Son. The only way God could save us was to transfer our guilt and our penalty upon His own Son, Jesus. Galatians 3:13 says, God, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. The curse of the cross meant alienation from God, but Jesus took our place and suffered the wrath of God that we could go free. Now, how many of you, Bible says, preadventure for one of your own loved ones, you'd die? But Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for those who would reject Him. He died for us on the cross of Calvary. He showed and displayed His unconditional love for us. God has unconditional love for us. It's shown very plainly at the cross. I'll send my only Son. He'll die on the cross. I'll turn my back on Him. I'll allow Him to suffer for those and die for those who should suffer and die for themselves. I'll let Him take the penalty of their sin and I'll place it on Him so that they can go free. The cross. Without shedding the blood, there's no remission of sin. We needed the cross. So the cross was where the power of sin and death was eternally destroyed. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15:51, and we talk about this scripture quite a bit, but we want to read it to you today. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. When this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Scripture there, O death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? And it goes on, 57 says, our victory comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, our victory comes through the cross. You're going to go to heaven because of the cross. You're going to put on incorruption because of the cross. You're going to put on immortality because of the cross. You're going to escape the suffering for your own sins because of the cross. Sin has no effect upon you. There's no sting of death because of the cross. You have victory today because of the cross. That's as simple as that. The cross. Jesus has saved you. He paid the penalty for sin and death. He did it for us. He conquered sin and death. Death lost its sting because Jesus died for us, but He also rose again. Hallelujah. Because He lives, we can live. Because He rose from the grave, we'll one day rise from the grave. Because He went to heaven, we'll go to heaven one day if you're a Christian today. He provided a way for newness of life in each and every one of us. If you're not a Christian today, I invite you to become a Christian. Most important thing you can do is become a Christian. If you don't ever do anything else, become a Christian. That's the best thing you could possibly do. He provided a way for us to walk in newness of life. You can get up this morning. You may have got up this morning. You're not a Christian. You go, well, I'm going to change. I'm going to change. I'm going to be a new person. I'm going to stop cussing. I'm not going to drink no more. I'm not going to do drugs no more. I'm not going to have sex outside of marriage. I'm going to wait. I'm going to be pure. I'm going to purify myself. I'm going to be everything I need to be. You'll not succeed. without Christ. And even if you succeed in giving up all those bad habits, doing all these good things, and you quit cussing and you start being nice to people, and you're not hateful no more, and you start being this really great neighbor and all these things, without Jesus Christ, you're still just as lost as you were when you was doing all that stuff. Takes the cross and the blood of Jesus to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Amen? And He makes you better than new. Well, I still have this body of flesh that I deal with, and so do you. But my spirit, man, is saved to the uttermost. I'm as saved as I can get. I can't get any more saved than what I am. I still fuss with the flesh. I still fight with the flesh. But I am walking by faith. And I'm going to make it because of Jesus Christ. Because He made a way for me to walk in newness of life. I remember when I got up off my knees when I prayed through. Remember the first time, you know, somebody, I'm tired of hearing that story. Well, I was 8 years old when I first got saved. And I got saved over on that side of the church at Assembly of God Church. I can take you to the church today. It's not a church any longer, but the building's still there. And I can take you in there where if the pews were there, show you the pew where I carved my daddy's name. I got saved over that. They shouldn't have gave me that new knife, but anyway, they did. And I got saved about in the middle of the pew. Of the altar, and I prayed through, me and another little old boy. I was 8 years old, and I got saved. I got away from the Lord when I was a teenager. When I was about 19 or 20 years old after I got married, I was back here in that back corner of a church. And the invitation was given, and I didn't come to the altar that day, but I knelt my knees and my heart to God on that back pew, or the next to the back pew, and I prayed through. And when I got up from there, I knew I'd experienced a new birth. I knew that God had forgiven me of my sins. I knew I'd got up. I was the old man. Old things had passed away. Behold, everything had become new. I was a different creation. I was a different person. I began to treat my wife differently. I'd treated life differently. And everything changed. I'm glad for Jesus today. I remember when He saved me. Now, I'm not living back in the past. Understand that. But I got to remember what He did back there so I can rejoice in it today. And I want to remember what all the things He's done for me over the last 40-something years of serving Him so that I'll understand I can't go back to that foreign land. I can't go back to that life of sin. I have been saved by grace today, and I'm going to continue in faith and continue to build up my most holy faith until Jesus comes. I don't care what weapon comes against me. I'm not going to let it get under my foundation and rot that thing down so that the winds of life and the waves of life and the floods of life will come through and cause my house to fall. I'm going to stay in there. I'm not giving up. And I don't think you ought to either. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. And He says He didn't send His Son to this earth to condemn it, but to give Him life. And I'm glad for that life today. Oswald Chambers wrote, "The cross of Jesus is the revelation, of God's judgment on sin. Never tolerate the idea of martyrdom about the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross was a superb triumph in which the foundations of hell were shaken. There is nothing more certain in time and eternity than what Jesus did on the cross. He switched the whole human race back into a right relationship with God. He put the basis of human life on redemption, i.e., in other words, He made a way for every son of man to get in communion with God. He didn't martyr Himself. He gave Himself. They didn't take His life. He gave His life. They couldn't kill Him. He had to give it. He prayed that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He said, Father, if there's any way for this cup to pass, let it pass. But nonetheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. And if this is the way we can save all mankind, then Father, take me. I'm ready to go. Put me on the cross. I'll suffer for man because I love them like You love them. He died for us. He died for you and for me. He provided a way for us to know and be with God for eternity. Without Christ, you're not saved. There's no alternative. We got a lot of religions today, a lot of people within even our Protestant ranks that say there's alternate ways and all this can, everything's okay. There's only one way to Jesus, to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Only one way to heaven, only one road, and that's Jesus Christ. Through the blood of Christ. You can't get there. And if Jesus said, that's one of them trains of thought that just went right through the station. Jesus did say, I am the way, I am truth and life, and no man comes to the Father. It backed up after it stopped down the track. It came back. And no man comes to the Father except through me. That's the only way to get saved is through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. He provides us a sense of hope. Without Christ today, your life's hopeless. No wonder people are committing suicide and acting out and acting ugly. They have no hope. But yet Christ offers hope to everybody. There's hope in Christ today. He gives us hope to cling to every day. I don't have to cling to His hope every day. But there are days when I have to hold on as hard and as tight as I can. Pray and ask Him just to keep me. Because I don't want to be angry at God. I don't want to be angry at people. I want to have a strong, sustaining faith. And I don't want my foundation to crumble. So I cling to Him every day. Some days harder than others. You understand what I'm saying? Some days I don't just, pray. I mean, some days it's like I've got my arms wrapped around His feet, and I'm saying, Lord, don't let me go. Esau when he went to Jacob to his father after, and which one was it? Jacob and Esau and their daddy, and he had, said, bless me. And he said, no, you've already lost your blessing. I'm sort of like sometimes I got my arms around Jesus' feet and said, Lord, if you don't bless, I'm not letting you go till you bless me. Until I get a good blessing in this prayer time, I'm not leaving. I got to have it. I got to have another good blessing. I got to have some assurance. I already have insurance, but I've got to have assurance. I just got to know today. I mean, and sometimes that stuff just creeps up on you. There's nothing really bad going on, but the devil, I think, comes in. He tries to depress you and get you out of sorts. And that's the days you just got to wrap your arms around the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, I ain't letting you go till I get a breakthrough here. I ain't letting you go. I'm just not leaving till you do something. Have you ever felt that way? Well, the cross of Jesus, where we have our hope. One of these days, guess what? We're going to be with Him. One of these days. I want to read John 14, verses 1 through 4 to you. And if you've ever been to a funeral, you've heard this. I think it's one of the most famous passages in funerals ever. It is. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. How do you know the way? Jesus is the way. He's truth and He's life. That's Jesus today. Amen? So one of these days, because of this hope and because of our foundation, we're going to heaven because of what Christ did at Calvary. Because you accepted Him as your Savior. May I say as I close today, if you accepted Him as Savior, you must accept Him as Lord. He can't be Savior without being Lord. The truth. If he's your Savior, he must be your Lord. And he is our Lord today. I'm glad for Jesus. How about you? I'm glad for the cross of Calvary. Why don't you give him a hand in the place today, in the house today? Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, if you're not a Christian,